بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 16th of August in the year 2019 and alhamdulillah we've completed the second week the 14th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent companion Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu and yesterday I mentioned clearly that Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu was blessed with the unique honor of marrying two beloved daughters of our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I mentioned that the Rawafid tried to strip him of this honor by stating that these weren't the daughters of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam they were the daughters of Khadija from her previous marriage but like I mentioned this is a blatant falsehood a lie simply to tarnish or to belittle Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu And the other thing I should have mentioned yesterday was that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blessed with four daughters. Zainab, the eldest, Ruqayya, Kulthum and Fatima. Fatima radiyallahu anha, when she later got married herself to Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anha, she was blessed with three daughters. And how interesting that she named all her daughters after her sisters. So her eldest daughter, she called Zainab. The next daughter she was blessed with, she called Ruqayya. And the next daughter she was blessed with, she called Kulthum. So note Fatima showing her deep love for her sisters, that she named her daughters after her sisters. So this also indicates, of course, that these were her sisters. They weren't her stepsisters or anything of that nature. They were full sisters of Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu anha. So moving on. Entitled Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu's other wives and blessed children. We can now turn to the other august wives and children of Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu. So putting it simply, all in all, Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu had married 8 wives in total. All of them after Islam, from whom he had been blessed with many sons and daughters. So that's putting it very simply. All in all, he was blessed with 8 wives, obviously, when they passed away and married again. And from them, he had many sons and daughters. His wives radiyallahu anhum were, as mentioned by or recorded in Tabari in his Tariq 5-441. Sayyida Ruqayya, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyida Kulthum, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyida Fakhita bint Ghazwan, the sister of Sayyidina Utba ibn Ghazwan radiyallahu anhu. Sayyida Amr bint Jundub al-Azdiya radiyallahu anha. Sayyida Fatima bint al-Walid ibn Abd Shams ibn al-Mughira al-Makhzumiyya radiyallahu anha. Sayyida al-Banin bint Uyayna ibn Husn al-Fizariyya radiyallahu anha. Sayyida Ramla bint Shayba ibn Rabi'a al-Umawiyya radiyallahu anha. And Sayyida Na'ila bint al-Farafisa al-Qalbiyya radiyallahu anha. So don't worry about the names. Just to hear their names for blessings. Obviously, we know that two were the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But note that they were all prominent personalities, or they were from the families of prominent personalities. It is related about one of his more blessed wives, Na'ila radiyallahu anha, in Tabari in his Tariq 5-441. He had married Sayyida Na'ila bint al-Farafisa al-Qalbiyya radiyallahu anha, who was initially a Christian, who had then embraced Islam before he consummated his marriage with her. Indeed, she became a good Muslim. So note, it wasn't just the hierarchy of the Quraysh he was marrying. He was marrying people from the people of the book. But note, they embraced Islam. So one of his wives was a Christian, Sayyidina Naila radiyallahu anhu. What else do we know about Sayyidina Naila radiyallahu anhu? In Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, volume 3, page 58, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 366 of the New English Translation, Muhammad ibn Rabia ibn Harith rahmatullah alayhi relates, the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to spend generously on such clothing for their wives that was both beautiful as well as concealing. For instance, I once saw Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu wearing a shawl edged with silk that was worth 200 dirhams. He had thereupon clarified to the surprised onlookers, "This belongs to my wife Naila radiyallahu. I had given it to her to wear, and I am now simply wearing it only to make her happy." So let's look at this. So they would generously spend on their wives. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best place to spend your wealth is on your family. Think about that. Right? So when you spend on your family, this is the greatest place to spend. So they would generously spend on the clothing of their wives as well. And then, look how interesting, Uthman, he had his natural, he used to wear lungis, you know, like the ihram, the attire of the ihram, that was his normal attire. But once he had a, we call it a chadar, a shawl, and it was etched in silk. It was worth 200 dirhams. So people thought, where's that come from? We've never seen Amir al-Mu'mineen wear anything like this. He said, this belongs to my wife. I've given it to my wife. But to make her happy, I'm wearing it. Right? So note, he will look after his wives, radiyallahu ta'ala. Indeed, it was Sayyidina Naila radiyallahu who had witnessed his brutal and tragic martyrdom, which will be discussed at the relevant time. So Naila was one of his famous wives, radiyallahu anha. So he was blessed with 8 wives. So now let's turn to his children. How many children? Let's turn to his sons. How many sons was he blessed with? He was blessed with 9 sons. 9. Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu was blessed with 9 sons from 5 of his noble wives. So not all of them were blessed with sons, but 5 of them blessed him with sons. Sayyidina Abdullah radiyallahu anhu from Ruqayya, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah the younger rahmatullah alayhi from Sayyida Fakhita bint Ghazwan. So he had 2 sons called Abdullah. One was the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another one he called Abdullah, but this was from Fakhita bint Ghazwan. Note, he's not bothered. You know, we think, why you've got 2 sons with the same name? Allah Ta'ala likes it. He likes that name. He had a son called Amr, rahmatullah alayh, from Amr bin Jundub, radiyallahu anhu. Amr ibn Uthman, radiyallahu anhu, later married Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan's daughter, Ramla, rahmatullah alayha, and he passed away in 80 AH. So let's look at this. So one of his sons was called Amr. That son of his married Muawiyah's daughter, who was the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Look how interesting. The son was the son of the Amir al-Mu'mineen. When the Amir al-Mu'mineen passed away, went to General Firdaus, Ali became the Khalif. When Ali was martyred, went to General Firdaus, Hassan became the Khalif. Then Muawiyah became the Khalif. Muawiyah gave his daughter Ramla to Uthman's son. Look how how close they were to each other. And he passed away 80 AH, 20 years after Muawiyah passed away, radiyallahu anhu. He had a son called Khalid, rahmatullah alayh, also from Amr bin Jundub, the same wife. He had a son called Abban, rahmatullah alayh, also from the same wife, Amr bin Jundub, radiyallahu anhu. Abban later became one of the leading scholars of fiqh and was made the governor of Al-Madinah for 7 years during the Khalifah of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. He passed away in 105 AH. Referred to Hafiz Zahabi in his seer. So let's look at this. So notice one of his wives was blessing him with a lot of sons. The wife was Amr bin Jundub. One son was Amr. One son was Khalid. One was Abban. Abban became a faqih. So this son of Uthman, he became one of those, you know, giants of scholarship. And he later became the governor of Al-Madinah for Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, one of the Umayyad Khalifs. He passed away 105 AH. So how many years did he live after his father? His father passed away at 35 age. So he lived on for 70 years after his father. Rahmatullah alayh. He had a son called Umar. Rahmatullah alayh. Also from the same wife, Amr bin Jundum radiyallahu anhu. Know therefore that Uthman radiyallahu anhu was blessed with four sons from this noble woman. Again, her name is Amr bin Jundum radiyallahu anhu. So obviously, why did he call him Umar? You can work it out. He had a son called Al-Walid rahmatullah alayh, from Fatima bint Al-Walid ibn Abd Shams ibn Al-Mughira Al-Makhzumiya. So now, why did he call this child Al-Walid? Because his wife, the mother of that child, was from Banu Makhzum. Banu Makhzum was Khalid bin Walid's tribe. So note, he was honoring that tribe. Because Khalid bin Walid's brother was Walid, Ibn Al-Walid, the great Sahaba, radiyallahu anhu. So he called the son from Fatima, from the tribe of Makhzum, Walid. He had a son called Sa'id. Sa'id, rahmatullah alayh. Also from Fatima bint Al-Walid, radiyallahu anhu. He later became the governor of Khurasan in 56 AH during the Khalifah of Muawiyah, radiyallahu anhu. So look at Muawiyah, look how he's honoring Uthman. He gives one of his daughters to his sons. He made another one of his sons the governor of Khurasan. He had a son called Abdul Malik, rahmatullah alayh, from Al-Banin bint Uyayna ibn Husn, radiyallahu anhu. He passed away during his childhood, very young. And he had a final son called Anbasa, rahmatullah alayh, from Na'ila bint Al-Farafisah, i.e. the Christian who embraced Islam. So these are his eight sons. So why is it important to highlight that? Because people think that after he married the two daughters of the Prophet, he became a monk. Well, where does it say he became a monk? The people the Prophet encouraged. He goes, if I had 40 daughters, I would have given them to Uthman. I mentioned it yesterday. But I've got no more daughters left. Get Uthman married. So don't you think they're going to be throwing their daughters at him? So obviously, it was an honor to marry Sayyidina Uthman Radhi. So he had eight sons. How many daughters was he blessed with? He was blessed with seven daughters. Sayyidina Uthman Radhi Al-Lanhu was blessed with seven daughters from five of his noble wives, just like his sons. His daughter was called Maryam, rahmatullah alayha, from Amr bin Jundum, the one who gave him four sons. She also gave him a daughter, and he called her Maryam, rahmatullah alayha. He had another daughter called Sa'id, from Fatima bint Al-Walid, radiyallahu anha. He had another daughter called Aisha, rahmatullah alayha, from Ramla bin Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, radiyallahu anha. He had another daughter called Maryam, rahmatullah alayha, from Na'ila bint Al-Farafisa. So note again, two Abdullahs, two Maryams. And he had another daughter called Al-Banin, whose mother was a concubine, i.e. what his right hand possessed. So note, he had many children. And we should at least be acquainted with the fact that he had children. Now why is that important, especially for Uthman? Because people talk about his haya. And then they suddenly, you might even mistakenly think he was so bashful, he didn't approach women. But that's got nothing to do with Islam. That's misplaced haya. You know, some people think, oh, this person's very bashful, he's shy, he's this and that. Yeah, what's that got to do with anything? The Prophet got married, he had the most wives. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are you more holier than him? Right? So again, no, this is nothing to do with Islam. So yes, Uthman, I'm going to mention his haya is going to blow your mind. But keep in mind, eight sons, seven daughters, eight wives. So meaning, this is part of our deen. And there's nothing to be, obviously, to frown or look down upon. The following is a touching narration showing how much he loved his children. This is a sunnah. In Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, Kanz al-Umal, volume 2, page 157, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 158 of the New English Translation, Amr ibn Sa'id, radiyallahu anhu, he relates, whenever a child was born to Uthman, radiyallahu anhu, he would ask for the child whilst it was still wrapped after birth. He would then affectionately smell the child. When somebody asked him, why do you do this? Why do you smell the newborn child? He said, I like to do this because if anything should happen to the child, there would be love for the child in my heart. I would remember not only the features, but its unique pure scent, which would then lead to a greater reward in case of loss. Look, all these sunnahs that people are oblivious to. So imagine you get, you're blessed with a child. Which one of us smells the child? You think, you know, what the heck is this guy doing? There you go, sunnah becomes strange. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Islam started as something strange. It will end as something strange. Glad tidings to the strangers. So this is a sunnah. Sunnah of who? Amir al-Mu'mineen. Now he gave you the wisdom. He didn't just do it. So what, we don't need to know why he did it. You know, if a man stood on one leg, we'll stand on one leg. But he gave you the wisdom. He goes, if something should happen to that child, you notice you remember certain things about your children that pass. But do you remember the scent? So look how quickly he'd smell the child. So this is one reason given by Sayyidina Uthman. But there's another reason. In Tabarani, he was following the sunnah of Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the fragrance of a child is from the fragrance of paradise. SubhanAllah. The fragrance of a child is from the fragrance of paradise. Now think about that. Children are that pure that even the scent of them is from Jannah. Now, why is this very important to highlight? Because when you talk to your Christian brethren, what do they believe about children? They believe they're going to hell. Imagine, you go to a Christian, look, you know, I don't want to insult you, I don't want to find fault with your religion. But are you telling me that this newborn child is going to hell? He goes, yeah. Why? Because he's got the original sin. Adam, a'udhu billah, committed a sin, alayhi salatu wasalam, and that stain has passed on to his children. The only way to get rid of it is to believe Jesus Christ died on the cross and get baptized. Right? So think about that. So you can just reason with them. You said, if we go into a nursery now, all those children who aren't baptized are non-Christians, are they going to hell? What does your heart tell you? So think about that. So then you say, look, in Islam, this is what we believe. We believe that children that die, they go straight to paradise. That's number one. Number two, they're sinless. They're not sinful. They don't inherit any sins. And number three, even the smell of the child is from paradise. The Prophet would smell the children, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let alone saying that they've got the original sin. Astaghfirullah. So note, there's great wisdom in why the Prophet did things, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, it also indicates how pure and tender was the heart of Uthman. He was blessed with children, but he would show great love and affection to them. So again, this is a sunnah, so try and obviously get this into your life as well. So now, after mentioning about his family, talking about his beloved wives, his children, we can now go to his life. The reason you have to go through that at great length is because he's Dhul Nurain. He's a possessor of two lights. But when you say the two lights, weren't the other wives' lights as well? Not compared to obviously the daughters of the Prophet. But it's a great injustice not to mention them. Why? Because what about the rest of the children? Where did they come from then? Right? They must have had mothers. So note again, you can learn great lessons. So the next section is entitled, A Glimpse into Where His Blessed Name is Mentioned After the Glorious Hijrah to Al-Madinah. The blessed name of Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu features most prominently after our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to the holy city of Al-Madinah, and which will be mentioned in more depth during the course of this short biography at the relevant places, inshallah. So I'm not going to go through it in any depth. Don't start asking me questions. Right? I'm not going to talk very superficially about it. Then we'll go through it at length at the relevant place. When the Muhajirun radiyallahu ta'ala first came to Al-Madinah, they had great difficulty in getting drinking water. The reason being that there was just one well in Al-Madinah at the time. It was owned by a Jew, or according to another report, a Muslim who refused to give it to the Muhajirun. So think about that. One well, people would go to Al-Madinah, they'd fall very ill. They'd look at Ruqayyah. Ruqayyah died. She got smallpox, she passed away. Everybody fell ill except the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to compound the matter, there's only one well. And the one well, they're not even giving you the water. So what happened? In Nasa'i, number 3184, Tirmidhi, number 3723, Dayr Qutni, Mishkat, number 6075, or volume 4, number 57, in the chapter on Sayyidina Uthman, Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi states, Sahih, in Sahih Sunan An-Nasa'i, number 3638, Uthman himself relates, radiyallahu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may yashtari bi'ri rumata yaj'alu dalwahu ma'adala il muslimina bi khairin lahu minha fil jannah. Who will buy the well of Rumah and then let his bucket be the bucket for the Muslims in exchange for a better one than that for him in paradise? Thus Uthman said, I bought it from my pure wealth. So let's look at this. So first, where is it recorded? Is it some, you know, peer had a dream, right? This is a Sahih hadith. In Nasa'i Tirmidhi and in Sahih Sunan al-Nasa'i, absolutely flawless report. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say? He saw the scenario, water is difficult. So he encouraged the Muslims, who will buy this well, called the well of Rumah, and let the bucket be the bucket for the Muslims, and he will get a better one than for it in paradise. Uthman said, I bought it for my pure wealth. So he, and now there's a lot more to this, I'm not going to mention it here, but that was a big thing he did. There's far, far more details, but notice he didn't let the companions beat him to certain deeds. He just migrated. You'd expect a resident to buy it. If a person's migrated, left most of his wealth, you know, everything behind, comes to a strange city, and on the first, second, third day, people are asking, who will buy this, who will buy this? You don't expect those who've migrated to buy. Uthman bought it. Imagine, he's prepared already. Similarly, when the believers grew in number in Al-Madina, invariably our beloved messenger's masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, became too small to accommodate the growing worshippers. So what happened? In Nasa'i, number 3184, Tirmidhi, number 3723, Dada Qutni, Mishkat, number 6075, or volume 4, number 57, in the chapter on Sayyidina Uthman, radiyallahu anhu, Shaykh Al-Bani, rahmatullah alayhi, states Sahih, in Sahih Sunan al-Nasa'i, number 3638, Uthman himself relates, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, May yashtari buq'ata ali fulanin, فَيَزِيدُهَا فِي الْمَسْجِدُ بِخَيْرٍ لَهُ مِنْهَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Who will buy the piece of land of so-and-so's family and annex it to the masjid in exchange for a better one than that for him in paradise? Thus I bought it with my pure wealth. So now what's happened? Masjid al-Nabi. Think about it. All masjids go back to paradise. Masjid al-Nabi is the second greatest masjid. Muslims, more and more, the masjid needed to be expanded. He had to buy land, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did he encourage? Who will buy that land, make it part of the masjid, Allah Ta'ala will give him better than that in paradise. Uthman goes, I bought it. So where is it recorded? Did some peer have a dream about this? Sahih hadith in Nasa'i Tirmidhi, Sahih in Sahih Sunan al-Nasa'i. So note, he's getting jannat all over the place. He's been promised paradise because he's married two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's been promised paradise. I'll come to it from the Quran. He's been promised paradise and I'll come to it from the Prophet himself. He's not satisfied. You're thinking, you've got enough stamps. He's getting a stamp of Jannah because he's bought the wealth for the Muslims. He's got another stamp of Jannah because he's expanded the masjid. So note, they were never happy with, they were always trying to get more and more from the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This magnificent man, radiyallahu anhu, his generosity will be discussed in a separate chapter. Because obviously when you go through that, you'll be thinking, what is going on here? Because everything about him is amazing, but you have to go through it slowly. Not, you know, let's do one little khutbah on it in Jummah about Uthman radiyallahu anhu. What are you going to talk about? How he cut his nails? Right? You know, you need to slowly build a relationship with him, know who he is, find out where he, you know, then you know it. You want to know more, you get that yearning, you're thinking, this is an incredible man, radiyallahu anhu. Indeed, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a complete trust in his beloved son-in-law. For instance, in Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat 2-34-5, Hafiz Suhaili in his Ar-Rawd al-Unuf 3-137, that shortly after the Battle of Uhud, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mobilized 400 men with a number of horses and left for the campaign of Ghatafan Dhu Imr. And who did he leave in charge in Al-Madinah? Sayyidina Uthman. Think about that. The Holy Prophet is going on a campaign. It's after the Battle of Uhud, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, would you leave this Tom, Dick and Harry to be in your charge in place in Al-Madinah? Who did he leave in charge? Sayyidina Uthman. In other words, you are now the ruler, for want of a better word, to look after the Muslims in my absence. So what does that tell you? He had utmost confidence in the leadership qualities of Sayyidina Uthman as well, radiyallahu. However, no fighting took place and the Holy Prophet returned after 11 days. So what happened, we don't need to know. The unbelievers bottled it. The Prophet came back, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shortly thereafter, in Ibn Sa'd and Istabaqat 2-36, in the same year, 4 AH, after the Battle of Uhud, the campaign of Zat al-Liqah took place. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had heard that a group from Ghatafan wanted to attack Al-Madinah. Thus he set out with 400 of his companions, radiyallahu ta'ala. He once again left Uthman to be in charge in his absence. Again, ultimately, there was no fighting. And the army returned to Al-Madinah in 15 days. So let's look at this. So he's appointed Uthman. The Prophet's gone on a campaign. Nothing happened. He comes back after 11 days. So for 11 days, he was the Khalif. Shortly thereafter, the Prophet goes on another campaign. Zatul Riqa. This time he spends 15 days. Who was he appointed again? Uthman. For 15 days, he's the Khalif now, radiyallahu anhu. Confirming this, Abu al-Huwayrith, he said, rahmatullah alayh, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, radiyallahu anhu, in charge of Al-Madinah during the expedition of Dhatul Riqa, and he also appointed him over Al-Madinah in his expedition against Ghatafan at Dhu Amr in Najd. This is in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 3, page 41 of the English translation, in the chapter on the companions of Badr. So it's confirmed. So note, he was showing that he's a leader as well. He's got the leadership qualities. You can look after people, look after the affairs of the Muslims. Indeed, to finish, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would alternate this honor of deputizing someone in his place to govern over the capital in his absence amongst his worthy companions during his august and unparalleled lifetime. Now, this is important. Did the Holy Prophet always appoint Uthman as his Amir? No, in his absence. Sometimes he appointed Abu Bakr. Sometimes he appointed Umar. Sometimes Ali. Sometimes Abdullah ibn Maktoum. Sometimes somebody else. So why is that important to get into your memory? Because if some fruitcake then says he should have been the Khalif because the Prophet appointed him the Amir, you can respond by saying, well, he appointed so many other Sahaba. Have you understood? So for instance, the Rawafid say, the Holy Prophet left Ali behind in his absence when he went to Tabuk. Isn't that a proof that he should be the Khalif? And there you go. Bole bale Musliman, they go, well, that's true. Why did he appoint Ali? Well, have you read the Prophet's life? He appointed Uthman. But that is not a proof that the person who he leaves should be the Khalif. It just means that these people are worthy to lead. They've got the qualities to lead. That's all it is. Meaning it's an honor for them, but don't take that as an overriding factor. And note, both of the times he was deputized was shortly after the Battle of Uhud, where the Muslims lost. So it was even more critical to have a commander in place in case of something happening to the capital. So all I mentioned today was basically now talking about Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's other blessed wives and his noble children. And then I mentioned a little bit about his sons and daughters radiallahu ta'ala. And then I mentioned now where his blessed name is mentioned in Al-Madinah with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm only talking about it very superficially because I'm going to spend more time at length about these incidents, but at the relevant place inshallah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصوا بالحق ورواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم